There is no fountain quite like this fountain. Oh, the fountain of Christ.
It's Monday, November 14th, 2011. I've Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, the Word of God says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Now, in our text today, Paul begins by returning to the theme of rejoicing. He commands the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. Then he directly shifts his attention to a warning of legalistic teachers. Why does he take such an abrupt turn? Well, it's because if there's anything that can steal your joy and even kill your joy in the Lord, it's legalism. C.J. Mahaney defined legalism as seeking to achieve forgiveness from God through our obedience to God. Now, Paul warns about legalism. And he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now, he's saying that there are false teachers that come in and rise up among you. Watch out for them. Like, be on your guard. But what are these false teachers teaching? Well, for them, Church of Philippi, it's circumcision. It has to do with circumcision. By calling them mutilators of the flesh, he's referring to a particular group called Judaizers. These Judaizers were a group of believers from Judea who taught, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved. And see, Paul was refuting this teaching, saying that physical circumcision means nothing, but spiritual circumcision, that means everything. And what this is legalism, seeking to achieve forgiveness from God through our obedience to God. Now, here in the U.S., and really where we're living in this context, we're not really dealing with that kind of legalism, but there are other forms of legalism. Like, you can't be saved unless you're baptized. You can't be saved unless you walk an aisle or say a prayer or sign a card. It's not that those things are bad. It's just that we make them rules to salvation sometimes, and that's just legalism. It's a false gospel, giving people false hope. It's not exalting the finished work on the cross. In verse 3, he says that we are circumcision, or we are true Christians. He's speaking not of physical circumcision, but a spiritual circumcision. And he says, we who, number one, worship by the Spirit of God, number two, glory in Christ, number three, put no confidence in the flesh. See, our confidence is in Jesus Christ alone, and his finished work on the cross. That's it. That's it. In verses 4 and 6, he talks about dogs. And it's interesting to look, see what Paul does. He examines himself. He says, hey guys, I used to be one of these dogs. Like, I used to teach legalism because I myself had a legalistic mindset. But legalism, it gets you nowhere. Like, if it could get you somewhere, believe me, I would be somewhere. I have reason to put confidence in the flesh. Verses 5 through 6 says that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, Pharisee, as to zeal, persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now, what Paul is saying right there is stunning to people in that day. Like for you and me, that means nothing. But for people who grew up in Hebrew culture, they would hear that and say, okay, that's somebody I need to look up to. So Paul saying, look, guys, I've got a spiritual resume a mile long. And the way I used to think was, I've done all the right things. God should give me an A plus and put me on the team. I like what Sinclair Ferguson says. He says, our greatest temptation and mistake is to try to smuggle character into God's work of grace. See, the real value Paul found was in knowing Christ personally. That brought about true zeal. Paul considered his achievements useless. He even said they were rubbish. He said they're dung. They're nothing. The goal was Christ. In verse 7, he says it was for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, he said it was for the sake of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In verse 8 again, Paul said he counted all things as loss that I might gain Christ. It was impossible to hold on to the former values and still have Christ. It was one or the other. And the same is true for us today. Either we're going to put confidence in what we've done, or we're going to put confidence in what Christ has done. And Christ has done it all. The three statements expressed repentance regarding Paul's former attitudes about salvation. He turned away from hoping in his past achievements in order that he might embrace Christ. In verse 9, Paul says, I don't have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, comes from my achievements, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. See, as a Christian, we hold a righteousness, and it's a true righteousness. But true righteousness is not self-righteousness. It is Christ's righteousness given to us as a free gift. So the question is this. When you think about being accepted by God, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Well, I've done some good things in the past. Well, I've been trying to do better lately, and I'm going to kick up the obedience gig a few notches in my life. Listen to me. Past obedience cannot give us a right standing before God. Present obedience cannot give us a right standing before God. And future obedience cannot give us a right standing before God. No matter how much we obey, our obedience will never be able to wipe away our sin. That's legalism, if we're thinking that way. We're seeking to achieve forgiveness from God through our obedience to God. And listen to me, legalism is deadly. Not just killing our joy, but it kills our hope, and it leads us and people straight to hell. Tim Keller said, for many of us, it's not our sin that keeps us from God, but our damnable good works. Question is, do you know Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him? Are you trusting in Him alone at this moment for the forgiveness of your sins? Let us know Jesus and be found in Him. Let us spread His glory among the earth, making much of Him in all nations. I've been Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.
And I know, 'cause I've been here before. I've never wanted anymore. So I believe, and I will see.